chapter 2. We're concluding our mini-series on God's work through us. And this is really a bridge message to bring us into the next section, October, where we're going to be looking at the work of God's grace in our life. And Ephesians chapter 2 is a wonderful scripture about the grace of God and the grace that is at work in our life and through our life each and every day. We'll begin our reading in verse number 8 together, Ephesians chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our focus tonight is going to be on verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. As we consider the fact that we are God's workmanship. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word and the opportunity that we have tonight to look at your word. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts, work in our hearts, and help us to understand, Lord, that we are here for a purpose, on this earth for a purpose. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing upon our time together. May you be glorified. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of God is an amazing thing. God's grace is sufficient for every Christian. It's sufficient for all. And the Bible has much to say about the grace of God. And it is God's grace that is at work in our life each and every day. The Bible says it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's will and work in your life is that your will become God's will, and that you will follow God's will and God's pathway, that you would conform to his image. And this grace is at work in our everyday life through the trials that we face on a daily basis, the burdens that we bear in our life on a daily basis. Spurgeon told of an evening when he was riding home after a heavy day's work, and he felt weary. He felt depressed. And maybe you've experienced this. You're coming home and you feel tired. You feel exhausted. You feel depressed. When suddenly, he says, as a lightning flash, he thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. "My grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "I should think it is the Lord." And he said, "I burst out into laughing." He said that it seemed to make unbelief so absurd. It was as though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled about drinking the river dry. And the river said, "Drink away, little fish. My stream is sufficient for thee." God's grace is sufficient for every circumstance and burden that we bear. Now consider tonight a few reminders that we are seeing throughout Scripture of the very grace of God and what it represents in our life. Grace has given us all spiritual blessings through Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Grace has determined that we will be like Jesus and with the Lord one day. Grace has made us accepted in Jesus. The Bible says, Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Grace proved the blood of Christ has washed us from our sins. Grace reached out to us when we were dead in our sins and heading to a devil's hell. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you have he quickened. He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. It is because of God's grace that we can shout and praise his name for all that he's done for us. You see, grace loved us. Grace gave his life for us. Grace has secured our future. Grace has secured our salvation. Ephesians 2 teaches us all of this. And so Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, is helping him, this church, to understand of the importance of God's grace in our life. But this grace hasn't just saved us. It's the same grace that's still at work in our life each and every day. You see, the Bible makes it clear in this text that we are saved by God's grace. I mean, there is no argument. It's very concise. It's very clear. We earn nothing we have received, and we deserve nothing that we have received. We purchase nothing we've received. Everything we have in Jesus Christ has been given to us by the free grace of Almighty God. And this grace comes to a lost sinner, and that sinner is born again. And the Bible says he becomes a new creature in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And God is at work in our life. The Bible says that he begins to work in our life, and he begins to guide us, and he begins to direct us. In verses 8 and 9, again, it's made very clear that works have no part in our salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Ephesians chapter 2 and 8 and 9 makes this abundantly clear. But after our salvation, the Bible teaches us that God is still at work in our life to bring us to a place where we are working that faith. Now, I want us to notice some truths from this passage of Scripture. I want to discuss here and study what the Bible has to say about God's work through us today. First of all, I think there has to be said here a word about workmanship. Now, Paul begins in this verse here by saying that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The word workmanship means that which is made. It's a work of art. In fact, the Greek word that is used here for workmanship is the English word, or where we get our English word poem, poemia. And it really refers here to a masterpiece. God says that you are a masterpiece. You are a creation of God. After we've put our faith and trust in the Lord by faith, by his grace, the Bible says that we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, is what the Bible is saying. God is the great potter, and we're the clay. It's wonderfully illustrated in Jeremiah 18. And verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And so the potter, with loving skill and infinite skill, God shapes us by his grace. Think of what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Notice here the words of Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And the earnest of the Spirit is the down payment that God gives to us at the moment of our salvation. It is God's promise that he's going to complete his work in us. And here the word wrought, it means to fashion. We are created in Christ Jesus. And here the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that the thought thereof of created is to form or to shape. And it's referring here, this is interesting, it's referring to making something out of nothing. God is our creator. And the moment that we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are a new creature, a new creation. It speaks here of a new thing. We are a child of God. One moment we were dead in our sins, and the next moment we're alive in Jesus. One moment we're on our way to hell, and another moment we're on our way to heaven. I mean, that's an incredible work. Of all the creation that we see around us, the greatest thing is the salvation of a soul. I heard the story of Napoleon. Napoleon was a French military genius, and he was aboard a ship, and it was a beautiful, clear, wonderful, clear, starry night, and he was walking on the deck, and he heard a group of officers who were mocking God. And one of the officers had made the statement, he was mocking the idea of a supreme being. And he said, you know, the God of creation, what a joke, something like that. What a joke. And Napoleon stopped when he heard that. And he stared up at the sky, and he ran his hand across the stars. And he said, gentlemen, you're going to have to get rid of all of this first. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. But understand this tonight, that the salvation of a sinner declares the grace of God. Because we deserve hell. We don't deserve salvation. And yet the Bible says that by his grace, we can know him and have eternal life. And all around here tonight, I know testimony of many of you, there are breathing testimonies to life, to the life-changing power of Almighty God. That we are that new creation. We are that workmanship. It's incredible how someone can take something that looks like its days are done. Garbage. We would call that garbage. And you know, people will say, well, what one man's garbage is another man's treasure. And people have the ability to take garbage and to make something incredible from it. And I've seen it. I've seen videos of people who have taken something that is just, its days are done, and they refinish it and they rework it and they make something in the end, a product that looks like it should be in a showroom, it should be in a store for sale for thousands of dollars, and they have that ability, and yet God has taken us sinners on our way to hell, and he has made us his workmanship. He has changed us and created in us a new nature, and now we can call him Abba Father because of the work of his grace. It's incredible what Paul is saying in this passage of scripture, that we are his workmanship. We were on the side of the road. We were that garbage, if you could say that. And God has changed us. And he's made us new. And this is the thought that we have before us. God is the master craftsman. And he took something worthless and he transformed it into something of infinite value. Now, it's important for us to see here in this scripture what the Bible says. It says here that we are his workmanship, verse number 10, created, look at this, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. This is important because this is the grounds of our salvation. You see, when God makes a new creature out of a dead sinner, he does it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for the entire world. And people will say, I don't understand that. I cannot believe you would say there's only one way. I'm just glad that there is a way. And that God came to us. And through his Son, we can have eternal life. We are new creatures through Christ. And as we believe the gospel, the Bible says that we have salvation in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I know our world today puts people in various categories, but God sees people one of two ways. They're saved or they're lost. They have the Son or they've rejected the Son. And that's how God sees the world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to come to the Son. But he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. This is a Bible truth. And the only way that we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. We must be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want us to notice a second word here in this text, in verse number 10, and that is the word works. Now, Paul tells us that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Works do not save us. And this text makes that abundantly clear. And maybe you've been talking to someone who maybe lives their life trying to merit or earn salvation, then you've probably gone to this passage of Scripture. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Though we are not saved by works, we are saved for works. And the Bible says here that we are saved for good works or unto good works. The word there, good, it speaks of a good nature. It's talking about that which is accepted of God, that which is useful to God. We are saved unto this good work. Let your light shine, the Bible says, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the new life that we have within us, we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, and by grace we are saved, and now we are God's workmanship. But our salvation doesn't end there. We are saved and secure, but God has a purpose for us. If God didn't have a purpose for us on this earth, then after we trust him as Savior, we just go to heaven. But God has a purpose for us. And God says, no, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, our nature in Jesus is where this good comes from. You say, Pastor Burns, what do you mean? Well, if you're a Christian today, any good that I see in your life is because of God. God said, listen, there is none good. Jesus said, there's none good but God. It is God who does the work through us. You say, well, Pastor Burns, listen, I've been on this earth for a long time. There's some good people. And there's good people that are not Christians. And they're good people. Yeah, they're good sinners. And this is an opinion of one sinner to another sinner. Yeah, you're a good sinner. But see, God has a completely different standard. And when God looks at the world, he says, there is none good, no, not one. Because listen, we have come short of the glory of God. Even our good, our righteousness, when God looks at that, he says, it's filthy rags. You don't impress me with your good. So what's the answer? What can a Christian do that an unsaved person cannot do, no matter how hard they try? We're doing a food drive here at our church. Listen, unsaved people feed poor people all of the time. Unsaved people can be good to their spouse. They can be good parents. They could be wonderful citizens of a country. They can be just overall nice people. But there is one thing that a Christian can do that an unsaved person cannot do. No matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, they just cannot do it. And that one thing is this: they cannot please God. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, our new nature is the key. You know, there's a wonderful passage of Scripture. I want you to turn there to Matthew 12. Our world has things backwards. What they try to do is they try to do the good work, hoping it's going to change the heart. But God says, no, wait a minute, you got all of this backward. You see, this is what you have to do. Notice what the Bible says in verse 33 now. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Works don't change our nature. Look what the Bible says, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account, therefore, in the day of judgment. For by the works thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Christ is saying, our works express our heart, but what we do doesn't change our nature. It doesn't change our heart. And someone who is involved in religion and they're trying to work for their salvation and they're trying to reform themselves, they do all of the works and do all of the works and they hope that that changes the nature. But Jesus said, no, no, no. He's speaking to the Pharisees. No, 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 that's not what you do. You got to make the tree good and it's going to produce good fruit. The answer is a new nature. The answer is being a workmanship of God. And as we are that workmanship, we have the ability through the Spirit of God to please God with our life. You can work all of your life and not please the Lord, because the fruit doesn't declare what the tree is. The tree produces the fruit. And Jesus emphasizes this in Matthew 7. Turn there, if you would. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is in the context, by the way, of you know, by their fruit you will know them. And he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at this. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And we don't have time tonight to break this all out. We looked at this last week when we looked at the theology of salvation. But, you know, how many times did Jesus say that I'm not here to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And God sent his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to go far in studying Scripture to realize that the will of the Father is for you to come to the Son. And the Bible says here, listen, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, then you're going to have to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. And God has, the Father has lifted up Jesus Christ as the way for humanity to have their sins forgiven. And verse 22, look what the Bible says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? I mean, that's a nice resume right there. Casting out devils, wonderful works, prophesying in his name. But look what the Bible says, verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. All those wonderful things, what does God call them? Ye that work iniquity. Because you can't do things and hope that that's going to make the tree good. You got to make the tree good. And then the works, the fruit it produces is good fruit. And that's God's work through us. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and temperance and meekness. Against such there is no law. These just naturally flow from someone who is allowing the Holy Spirit to direct them and influence their life. It's the natural response of God's work through us. It's when the tree is good, the fruit it produces will be good. I want us to notice one last word tonight, and I'll be done. Let's think about our walk. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Couple of statements here and I'll be done tonight. First of all, God expects his people to walk in these good works. Because we can walk in the Spirit, the Bible says we can please the Lord. And the word walk here, it speaks about that which regulates one's life. It's not, you know, well, I'm going to live for God for 6 months and live for myself for 10 years. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. The thought in the Scripture here is a fixed way of life. It is committed to following and walking in this truth. And the Bible says that God's design for the Christian life, we looked at this Sunday morning, is that Christ is going to live through us. I'm not going to live my life my way, but Christ is going to live through us. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so the Bible says we want to walk a life that honors the Lord. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This walk is a walk of love. It's a walk of obedience. It's a walk of faithfulness. It's a walk of holiness. Be ye holy, the Bible says, for I am holy. And God is still at work in our life. And God still has a purpose in our life. But remember this, the phrase here that we see, have before ordained that we should walk in them, it reminds us that we're saved for a purpose. And God has a purpose for our life. God's plan to save us by his grace is not that we can live for ourselves, but to live for him. And when we live for him, this is when we find that joy and that peace, that wonderful peace that we sang about tonight, and that wonderful fulfillment in our life. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. And we're thankful for that, that God is ordering our steps and guiding our life. It is these good works that God has saved us for. And these good works are these works that please the Lord. And ultimately, God says, listen, I want your light to shine. And I want the world to see these approved, these good works, that they would glorify me. And that's why we live our Christian life, is to ultimately bring praise and glory to his wonderful name. It's God's work in us. And it's an incredible work. It's a wonderful work. And we ought to be thankful for that wonderful work in our life today. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you'd help us as we take time together.